Thanks for tuning in to Spraymakers, the podcast that dives deep into the world of water skiing with Chris Rossi and Trent Emerson. Driving is an element to skiing that can easily get taken for granted. The boys talk through some good thoughts that will make you a better driver.
One of my favorite things to do, and I think one of the things that makes a huge difference to your ski partner, everybody that you ski with, and the whole Sheboygan, and that is driving the boat. I can't explain to people how amazing it is when you get one of those quote unquote drivers. Like everybody knows it. You've skied with that person before where you go out and it's magical. I mean, it just like you're able to do the things that you want to do and you ski really well. And for some reason, even sometimes it can make it feel like the boat's going slower or just that the boat is always there and you can make any turn you want, anytime you want, late, early, any of it. But I just kind of want to jump into this. You've been on this, this driving train for a long time and, you're one of the best that I've ever skied behind. And and I've skied with you throughout your career. So I've actually got to evolve with you. And
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like not in the driving sense, but in the riding behind you sense. And, you know, right now, if I was picking a person to drive me, I'm going to pick Trent right now. And no offense to any of my other buds. I just know this guy's got my back. So why don't we, and every skier's back, it's not like that, but you know what I mean? Like you get this feel behind certain drivers. And you think, isn't the boat just going straight down the lake? Aren't they just trying to keep it in the middle? And so anyway, I wanted to open this up to you. I don't know where we're going to go with this, but when you hear a driving episode on Spraymakers, what's the first, few things that jump into your mind or what do you want to start with to get everybody fired up?
Well, I think, and you're exactly right. Like every lake or every ski community, every ski club has like both ends of the spectrum, right? They have that driver that, everyone wants to ski behind. And unfortunately they have that driver that nobody wants to ski behind. And, a lot of that is just, repetition, time in the seat and all that sort of stuff. But, I think probably the first thing, and you and I talked about this a little bit, off air is like kind of trying to decide what your goal is, right? Like as a driver, like, what is it that you what is it? And we'll keep this fairly specific to slalom, but what is it that you are trying to do, right? And it's funny, like Scott Greenwood, he's I don't know if you don't know his name, he drives the majority of the pro stuff, and he's driving the Elite Worlds this year. and he hates to hear it, but he's one of the he is one of the best drivers in the world. He's learned from the best, and he's put his time in. He says, like, his perspective is, and this one resonates with me, is he's just trying to stay out of the way. And what that means is, trying to be as in sync with the skier as possible so nothing big or drastic has to happen in terms of steering or repositioning or any of that. Just staying out of the way. So, Rossi, skied behind you a ton of times, and you're one of those drivers that gets on the list of one of the drivers at the lake that everyone wants to ski behind. What step number one for you? Let's just start. We'll start broad stroke, and then we'll just get a little bit tighter as we go. Let's just start with we'll start with vision. Like I think one of the most important things as a driver is similar to skiing, you pull your ski out of the water, you get lined up to the course as quickly as possible. Like now what? Like what is it? What are your visual cues or how important do you think vision is?
Well, as you spend more time behind the wheel, just like when you're skiing really well behind the boat, when you're out there skiing, you're like, you're in that zone where it's that time of year where everything just seems to be clicking and you just can't miss or all those things. The first thing that I notice when I'm skiing like that is that I see a lot bigger picture. I'm not looking at directly at the buoy. I'm not hyper-focused. It's almost like I take myself and I pull myself back a little bit. Like I'm zooming out a little bit. So I'm not driving. So there's a few things in here that in order to be the person that I want to be, I also need to sit in that driver's seat more. Just like, just like if you don't ski that much, it's hard to find that place. Like there's so much going on that it's really hard to focus. So I just want to say that there is no, there's no getting around time in that seat is how you said it. I mean, driving the boat. Yeah, exactly. You have to, and you should want to, like right now when I go to the lake, I want to drive the boat. If I'm not skiing, I want to get in that seat. I've got a lot of people who I ski with who also want to be in that seat. So, and there's also a lot of people that want me in the coach's seat on the other side.
Yeah.
Instead of having me drive. So I'm not,
seat time.
Right. So I'm not getting that seat time. And thus I can tell you that, you know, there's been people that in the past have said that I have a, you know, magic touch and stuff like that. But I can tell you that without that time in the seat, it's there, but it's harder for me to access. So I'm not seeing that picture as big. And that's what I was just trying to get to is that, you know, when I come around that corner, first off, when I sit in that seat to start the set off or the tournament round that I'm driving or whatever, I'm very intentional with what I'm doing. I'm very focused. And as much as I would love to have side convos with the boat judge or the person who's sitting in, you know, watching the set and stuff like that, for me right now, that's not in my jam. I got to sit down and I want to get to the business of putting myself in the right spot so that when I do come around that island or when I do bring that boat up to speed, I'm focused and I'm seeing the cues that I want. So for me, I want to see like this pulled back view of the lake. I see everything that's coming on. I put my boat right where I want it as early as I possibly can so that I can be comfortable and setting myself up for what I want. You know, I mean, for me, like, it's like zooming out 25%.
It is zooming out. I think that's an interesting, I hadn't thought of it quite like that, but that is exactly. That resonates with me, I guess, what I'm trying to say, you know, because when I get it, like, you know, I just came back from US Nationals and I was, you know, lucky enough to be selected to drive that tournament. And the more in my zone or in my groove that I got, the more exactly right, Rossi, the more zoomed out I was, you know? So, you know, you hop in a brand new boat, you get to go up and back just to try and find your center. The up is far more zoomed in. You know, I'm trying to see like, okay, when I'm in the middle, like, you know, where am I situated? Where is my shoulder situated? Where is the boat situated in relation to these, you know, to the boat guides? And then by the second pass coming back, now I'm trying to zoom out to just, I think of it as looking through the course. You know, I don't want to look at the course, especially at pre-gates and gates. You know, I want to be looking through the course, and the more comfortable I get and the more confident I get, the more, like you're saying, Rossi, the more zoomed out it is, you know, and you can, as a skier, I think you can probably relate to this as well. You can feel a driver that is too zoomed in. You know, the
can you talk about that a little bit? Because that's actually going to be my next question. Like, what is zoomed out versus zoomed in? Like, how as a skier are you going to feel those things? Like, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so you're going to feel like that. Like, you know, they feel nervous. You're going to feel that nervous tight where they're just going buoy, or gates to gates to gates to gates to gates, and anything in the middle isn't that important. I'm talking this in a slightly negative manner. So, because between those is actually the most important thing, but there's a group of drivers that, you know, they just drive nervous and all they're worried about is just hitting, you know, and often it's a piece of tape on the windshield or a piece of tape on the bow of the boat. And as long as they line up that tape with the right hand gate buoy every single time, they're happy, right? And then that goes away from, you know, from the ultimate goal. You know, like we've stated, Rossi, from the skier's perspective, and my perspective, my ultimate goal as a water skier is establishing and maintaining a relationship with the boat, you know, always being connected, always getting the full swing. So then the counter to that is when I spend time driving, I'm trying to do the exact same thing. I'm trying to facilitate a relationship between me and the skier.
Wait. You're not just trying to make sure that boat stays on the train tracks.
Yeah. And that's it. Right. And, you know, and we'll talk about SurePath a little bit, but that's, you know, with SurePath giving you that real data, you know, of, it's giving you, okay, well, just SurePath is, it's a boat monitoring system. If you're not familiar with it, and it's a tool that's been out for a few years and it's been implemented in tournaments the last couple of years, and it's giving the driver down to the centimeter instant data of where they are at every set of gates through the course. And it's actually,
so as they're driving down the course, when you look at a course, you've got your boat lane right down the middle. It's marking, it knows where the center of that boat lane is. And then it's telling you whether you are to the buoy side of it, plus side, or you're to the away from the buoy side of it, the negative side. Is that, yep. is that a pretty easy yep. way to
100%.
Say it?
100%. Yeah. And down to the centimeter. So you're getting right. this real data. So I guess, you know, back to that, the whole thing is, you know, we're going to start, you know, again, broad stroke. What is your goal? Well, my goal as a driver is to establish and maintain a relationship with the skier that mm-hmm. falls within the very tight set of rules that makes a pass, you know, green, way to go. You're, that's good enough. Or red. Hey man, like, you know, you're
rain
or
down.
You're outside of the, you know, the allowable parameters. So,
I had a quick jump in right here. Cause I think here, just with the way you set that up with you're talking about your relationship with the skier as the driver, I wanted to back up for just a second and say, can you talk to me as the skier, what you're looking for?
Cause
I think these go hand in hand.
Yeah. So it goes back to that when you, like you said earlier, you know, when you get that driver, you're mind blown. And the first thing for me, it was back in 2007, the first time I, you know, 2006, the first time I got to ski with Chad Scott, who's another one of these drivers that's, you know, pulled like countless world records and pro events. And I was floored that it seemed like it didn't matter what I did, the rope was tight, you know, and obviously there's going to be, you know, you're going to get far enough through the spectrum that's no longer going to be possible. But I was just floored by just the ultra connected feeling I had from pull out to gate glide to gate turn back in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I never had that free falling feeling. And that's facilitated by the driver. So on the driver's perspective, you know, when I'm sitting in the seat, you know, I'm my goal is to feel that skier for as much of the pass as possible, you know, and that's, we're not talking about, you know, it certainly has nothing to do with weaving. It's nothing to do with that. It comes down to being a little bit predictive of, in terms of what's about to happen, you know, mm-hmm. like you feel a huge pull early coming out of the turn. Well, then you kind of know that I'm going to have to give them more steering support here. And then that the edge change is probably going to be later. And it's probably going to be more of a down course swing. So, you know, I'm going to be able to, you know, to keep that squeeze or keep that pressure on the wheel just a little bit longer. Like it's being a little bit predictive. And again, that's where, you know, you run the risk with SurePath of just turning your brain off and getting numbers, you know?
Right. So can I jump in now for just a second?
Yeah.
Okay. So in skiing, slalom skiing is obviously what we're talking about. In slalom, you are safe when the rope is tight. Mm-hmm. You don't fall. You almost will never, ever fall when the rope's tight. Go back and think about what happens when you're skiing. And every time that you've fallen, I can almost guarantee you that if you were to ask, was the rope there for you? It wasn't. It was loose. You skied inside.
And not to suggest that that's the driver's fault.
No, right? No, that's very much, that's very much a good point, Trent. Very much. It's not the driver's fault, but I just had this idea of like the driver's really seeing two lines at the same time and trying to converge them as close as possible.
Perfect. I like that.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. So then there goes, you know, I have a couple of like golden rules. Like, so as it refers to this specifically, this ability to help keep the rope tight, I have a golden rule that as a skier crosses center line, so the center of the wakes, Mm-hmm. Let's just say they've come out of one ball. As they come into the first wake and they hit the center of the wakes, so from the center of the wakes all the way through the upward swing into two ball, that like that my golden rule is after they cross the wakes, you have to hold. Like you have to hold the pressure on the wheel. You have to hold your line. You have to let them swing on that line. And I think that probably the biggest mistake drivers make is moving late to get to a spot that looks like it's where they want to be from the driver's perspective. And to me, I like I even frame it like selfishly centering the boat. You know, mm-hmm. if coming out of one ball, they hook up and they're coming through the swing portion. If I'm not where I think I need to be by the time they get to the first wake, then I'm just like, I have this quick idea. I'm going to fall on this sword. This is my fault that I wasn't where I needed to be. I'm not going to move selfishly suddenly just to find that middle spot, you know? So if, you know, I think like, you know, driving 101 as it relates to slalom course driving is from hookup to first wake. That's your opportunity to safely put the boat where it needs to be. You know, if you're not already where you want to be, from center line all the way back up to the top pre-turn until they hook up again, your job is to hold your line. And it is that simple. You know,
what if you're negative? What if you're on the wrong? Yeah, what if you're a little bit? Sure. What if you're hard siding them just a little bit at center line? So what are you saying you're going to do? You're going to hold
I'm going to offside. I mean, I learned that from Chad Scott. Like, you know, I was when I first started getting 39 consistently in that era that I already referenced. You know, I had a habit of I'm a lefty. I had a habit of big three ball just to punctuate to make sure I'm in this pass, which isn't a good thing. But I couldn't tell you how many times, you know, that I would get through, do my big three ball, you know, survive 4, 5, 6, run the pass, stop down at the end, and Chad Scott would smile at me and say, "Hope you don't mind, I offsided you at four ball," you know, because, and he's telling me again, like he's not manipulating the parameters. He's telling me, boom, like you got me out of three ball, but I held you. I wasn't where I wanted to be, but you know, the line stayed tight.
Okay. Does that mean
we were able to run the pass? Yeah, yeah, no, just, exactly. You know, just, it's that it's not. And again, it's, I don't mean it's, you know, selfishly in this like huge negative connotation, but it's, you know, it goes back to that original comment from Scott Greenwood, just trying to stay out of the way, you know?
Can you talk about, okay, so talk about the person that does try to adjust because they think that getting to center would be better because you're giving some, I mean, in theory, you're giving some potential width to the person, even if it's late. Isn't that helpful?
Stealing swing, right? Stealing swing.
So talk about it, like, why that isn't.
Yeah, okay. And this one, I had never thought about it till just now, but like, I think this will probably resonate with most of us. You know, when you're a kid, or if you have kids and watching them, you know those swing sets that you get from Home Depot? You know, like the wooden structures. Mm-hmm. And if they're not anchored really well to the ground, when they're swinging down, the anchor point will actually move. And by anchor point, I mean like where the chains are connected. If you get that kind of rocking thing, and then think about the bump that creates if the anchor point moves, you know, and the anchor point in slalom is the pylon.
Right.
You know, so if on that upswing, let's say again, they're going to two ball. If on that upswing, I suddenly and erratically move to the left, what happens to the energy of that swing? It just dissolves. It disappears, you know? And like, to be super, super, super clear, I'm not referencing or I'm not suggesting, you know, manipulation or purposefully doing something. But if you get caught in the wrong spot, which we all do, every driver does, it's the best drivers are going to hold that spot, you know? Mm-hmm. And especially if you're not, you know, if you're not a tournament driver and you're not, you know, being monitored by five different people with staring at Sherpa screens, scrutinizing what you're doing.
That's a whole nother discussion.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, again, my biggest rule of thumb, like people ask me like, hey, what's one thing I could do to be a good driver? If there's two or three things, one of them is certainly that. Just, hey, you know, from hookup to the first wake, you're safe. Like you really can, you can move that boat without, you know, negatively affecting somebody, you know, unless we're talking about feet, but, you know,
right.
But I mean, from center of the wakes to the top, every skier is going to be happy if you just hold the pressure on the wheel and just let them swing through that phase, like let them advance on you, you know, before you, you know, or without suddenly changing, you know, I think of this, like, you know, to help keep myself calm, I think about, I'm just going to drive the entire pass. You know, I'm right. not going to, if I suddenly see a visual that I don't like where I am, I'm not going to worry about it because I'm driving six buoys, not one buoy at a time, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's why, I mean, I think that's why I think people get really caught up in, I want, you know, especially if they're using like these monitoring systems and things like that, I think they get caught up in, I want a number at each buoy. But yeah. what they're not realizing is actually, first things first, we're doing a dance with the person that's behind us. And every person dances different. So we have to find and establish our rhythm with how that person skis. And yeah. I love finding that. And you, yeah. I know it as a driver, and I can, and we referenced this early on in the show, like, when you, as a driver, establish that relationship with the skier and you're there for them, you can almost know what they're going to do, when they're going to do, because as I'm yes. driving, I'm also seeing their line. I'm feeling their line. You know, I got to a place where I was driving and coaching that I could tell a person exactly the moment that they had a thought in their mind. I knew it. That's how in tune I was with driving and coaching and my skier and the whole yeah. thing. Now, I was driving over 1,000 hours a year at that point, so I was able to pick up all those nuances. I'm not that able right now because I'm not driving the boat as much. But I mean, that's the kind of relationship that you want to have. Now that, and then obviously keep that within the parameters of, you know, what we're shooting for. I mean, obviously I want to have that feeling that I'm there for that skier and that rhythm. And let's say if you're using one of these cumulative things, like you could drive a perfect pass and have a zero deviation throughout the course and still be in rhythm with that skier and really in tune with when they're going to drop in, how they're going to drop in, what they're going to do, and put the boat where you want it to be and be dancing with them, not just yeah. like the fighting the skier to stay where you want the boat to be
yeah.
is something that just, it's a tough one because yeah. as the skier, it ends up with this reverse feeling all the time. Like you and the boat are fighting each other. And then it's a battle all the way down for the skier. And because the skier is battling, the driver again has to rebattle even more. Yeah. So I don't know how to explain it, but I think,
I think it's exactly that. It's keeping in mind, like, you know, whether you're using SurePath or whether you're not, that the connection to the skier needs to supersede your desire to be dead center. And again, that's not suggesting weaving, but it's like in that order, you know, cause I've driven tournaments where I got to the end of the pass and I was like, oh, sorry that, you know, that was not my best work. I right. did you no favors, and look at the SurePath numbers and they're great.
Right.
You know, and the counter is also true where I've had, you know, got to the end of the pass and I'm like, okay, I stand behind that. That's as good as I can do. And the numbers aren't near as good. You know, it's not, you know, it's driving the skier comes before getting, you know, the fancy video game numbers, or if you're not using SurePath, before just being dead center all the time, you know? So one vision, you know, like, again, looking through the course or zooming out, like not getting hyper-focused on each gate one at a time. You know, and then in terms of rhythm, holding the skier through the swing, like making sure that you can feel them. And then I think the next important thing for me is, is the idea of, I just think of it as squeezing versus steering. And what I mean by that, and this is going to apply to, you know, more than the newer, more so the newer boats, but it'll apply to any boat. And it's that idea of like, I'm not physically steering the wheel, and you know, and again, it's going to depend, like, the, you know, the newer, tighter boats are obviously good. It's just going to be more irrelevant, but it's like, I'm really just, I'm putting, you know, so I drive with, you know, my left hand at about 11 o'clock, you know, 11, close to 12, somewhere in there, but a little left of 12. And I just think of it as, you know, when the skier is going to the right, I'm like squeezing the left side of my hand, you know, until there's a moment that they're free. And then in anticipation, or just a moment before I know the hookup's there, I'm giving it a little squeeze on the left side of my hand again to set up the boat to receive that pressure. And then as they're swinging through, I'm just transitioning that squeeze in my hand to, you know, it's like I just go down each finger. You know, I start with my pinky finger as they hook up at one ball. And then as they come closer to center, it's going ring, middle, pointer until they're gone again. It's calming down, you know, because again, like sitting in the boat, you watch a driver who isn't quite in time or in sync, and you see a lot of steering going on. Or you watch a driver who is incredibly in time with their skier, and the wheel, like, I mean, you've got to look to even see that the wheel's moving. You know, you're mm-hmm. just, you're creating pressure on the rudder to support the skier more so than steering the boat.
Ooh, I like that one. Like, and I mean, yeah, go ahead.
And I mean, just to sum that up, that being said, as soon as your timing gets off, the relationship gets flawed. Okay, now there's going to be a moment of steering, right? And hopefully that moment of steering is going to be before the skier gets the center line. But what do you think about that, Rossi? Like more about applying pressure as opposed to steering the, you know, or moving the wheel.
I mean, I loved the picture you just painted with the way that you had your, I do a lot of that. Well, you know, when I try to describe how I ski, I'm talking about like pressures, like big front pinky toe and things like that. So like hearing you do that, I was sitting here I had my left hand out. Like I was driving, I was listening to what you were saying. I was squeezing my pinky. I was coming up to index. I was like, oh yeah, that's totally what I'm doing. And that's the deal. I mean, for me, that you couldn't have summed that picture. You painted the perfect picture. So imagine that picture. And then all I can ever think about is, you know, holding a string with a plumb bob at the bottom, meaning a weight, right? Yeah. And, you know, I'm holding the string. Okay. So I want to feel that plumb bob swinging back and forth, and I want to maintain that connection at all moments, is kind of what I've always thought about from a driver's perspective, is mm-hmm. I want to feel that swing. I don't want to lose that connection, because when I lose that connection, then I'm going to have to make my best guess at when I'm going to regain that connection, and yes. how much force is that connection going to come back with? So if I have you while you're, let's say you edge change into one, and I can feel you swinging all the way out as the driver, I can feel you going out. I can predict when you're going to say, mm-hmm. and now I want to come back in. And when I'm doing that, I'm going to put that counter on the wheel. I'm going to put that thing there so that as you drop in, you feel just an increasing amount of support that matches the rate at which you're trying to hook onto it and head over. This sounds super complicated, but it actually is really easy if you establish that connection from the gate turn in, and you can feel it all the way. So, you know, for me, I'm always focused on, you know, that's why I think the way that you were describing your hand on the wheel is what's actually happening. And then I've got my vision going down the lake, almost zoomed out. Why am I zoomed out? I'm zoomed out so that I can take in another sensory piece of this, which is that weight on the end of the line and keeping track of that. If I get
too
vision,
yes,
right. If I'm too visioned in on my path, then I can't feel what's happening with that skier back there. I want to know where that skier is at all moments.
100%.
Yep. And when that moment that I lose them, or they lose me, I'd like to say that it's them losing me, but you know, it can happen either way. The driver can does your driving can't be perfect all the time. So, it, you know, but the skier tends to lose the boat more than the boat tends to lose the skier in my perspective when I'm driving. But the moment I lose them, then I'm having to go, okay, where were they? What line length are we at? How like have I skied with them before? When is this going to come on? How hard is this going to come on? You know, I've got guys that come on soft and they're, you know, a person who's more patient through that loose line zone as a skier gives me a bigger window to find them again and we can reestablish and that's great. But I also have skiers who I lose them or they lose me and then they come on like an animal all at once. And I know these people cause I, you know, whatever I like some of them I've skied with and you're at 38 off and they're loose and you know, this thing's going to come on like at, it's not like a little move of the steering wheel. This might be a 90 degreer. I mean, you just don't know, like these people drop in so hard. You got to be able to, you got to be there to support them when they fall in and it's going to be really critical. So anyway, the idea of trying to maintain your the concept of understanding where that plumb bob is or where that tightrope skier whipping up on that swing or whatever. I mean, if you don't resonate with the swing thing, I don't know. For me, that is always the feeling when I'm driving. I can feel the swing happening. Yeah. The swing doesn't mean the boat's weaving. That's not what we're talking about, okay?
Nope.
That's definitely not. It's a rhythm and it is the tightrope. As a skier, if you have a tightrope, I'm not talking about a rope that's pulling you so hard that you're being pulled out of position. But if you have, it's like if you're on a swing set, right? And you swing up to that 90 degree area, it is very critical that your body do all the right things to keep that rope tight. But if that rope is tight, you can accelerate from a higher position. You can accelerate more properly so that you can do the same thing on the other side. That as a driver is, in my opinion, is the goal, like is to maintain that relationship with the skier, just like the way you always talk about it, Trent, when you're skiing, you're trying to establish your relationship with the boat. So it's like a back and forth thing. So, you know, I mean, I don't know, but can you talk a little bit about when you feel, let's say you're feeling the skier going out. Now, you know, they're getting close to apex, meaning they're getting ready to turn a buoy. If they're free skiing, you guys, this all applies. Like you're driving down the course, even when you're free skiing, this is super clutch as a driver, is to be zoned in on their rhythm and being there for them. So when they're getting close to apex, are you worried about the skier? Are you noticing where they are? Are you getting ready to do anything? What do you do when the skier is dropping in? Because I think this is also helpful because I think a lot of drivers end up getting caught behind the rhythm. So anyway,
and again, if the skier is you know, doing their best job, and again, the better the skier is skiing, the easier all this is, right? But you know, so like as they cross center line, I'm just going to stick with two ball in my mind. So as they're swinging up the two ball, you know, I'm holding the pressure on the, you know, on the right side of the wheel, or specifically, you know, my pointer finger of my left hand. And then as they break free of me, and that's not really quite the way I want to say it, but as you know, as they come up out of that, or high enough up the swing where I'm no longer towing them, if they've done their job correctly, the rope's still cable tight. So you know, even when they're free and they're moving up into the start of the pre-turn, if they've done a good job of maintaining their direction, the driver can still feel them. And then again, like as a driver, you know, I'm trying to be as in tune with their rhythm so I can, like, without not, obviously not looking at them, but I can see in my mind the rate at which they're moving out through the reach up. And then there's that stall, which is apex. And apex means apex is the highest point of their swing, which happens when they've decelerated to match the boat speed. So at that apex moment, I'm going to start looking for pressure on my ring finger again to set the boat up. Okay. Mm-hmm. But this one's tricky because you don't want to be moving at this point, you know, because they're vulnerable until that ski starts coming back under the rope. But it's, if you just stay dead at this point, they're going to hit you before you have the boat, you know, or before you have, you know, all the play out of the steering cable before the rudder is pressured up enough to accept it. So they're going to be free. So when they free themselves and they're moving up into the reach, we're just going down the lake together. They're under their own speed. Obviously the boat is also, and just as in my mind, I can see them coming under the rope. I'm going to start putting pressure in my, you know, in my ring or my, mm-hmm. sorry, my pointer finger again, my, you know, the right side of the wheel to be there at the moment that they hook up. I've got that pressure set, you know, and
only setting that pressure at like a 0.5 or a 1, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, the wheel's certainly not moving. Yeah. The wheel's not moving. Right. I'm squeezing the right side of the wheel. So right. Yes, the wheel is moving, but I mean, I've watched really good drivers. I mean, I'm talking like the wheel is actually moving a quarter of an inch or less. It's not moving, exactly. You know, you need to be careful at this point because, you know, if you do it too early and certainly if you do it too much, you're going to be putting pressure on that rope that the skier does not want at that time or does not need at that time. They need to be, they're free of you. They're connected, but they're free. And this comes back to the very first comment you made, Rossi. There's no substitute for time in the seat, time behind the wheel. You know, cause again, like the best drivers, they know there's like, they know what option. So the skier gets off the wakes. They can sense what direction they're on, what line they're on. They know that there's one of two options. It's going to be, they're either going to, you know, move through at their best possible rate, or they're going to, you know, do whatever, wheelie, miff, you know, put on the brakes, freak out, panic. But, you know, it's understanding that the line they were on when they left the wakes to know kind of what options are available to the skier, mm-hmm. you know? And I think the best drivers, they are just so rarely surprised, you know, it happens, you know, one or two passes around where there was a surprising moment for them.
Exactly. Because they're very clued into what's happening behind them. And I don't know, I guess just as a driver, I realized that what I really wanted is what I want from when I'm skiing. I just think about what do I want it to feel like when I'm skiing? And then how can I work this wheel, this boat in the way to put it as gently and perfectly as I would want it if I were skiing? I know when I come into the buoy and I want to finish the turn, I know if the boat is into me, even if I've set it up perfect, let's say, then I'm going, if the boat's into me, coming into me, then I'm going to have loose rope. If I have loose rope, which, how do I make the rope come tight? I got to rock back. Really? Right.
Yep.
So not every wheelie is actually a skier's fault.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Now, ouch. That doesn't mean that if you wheelie all the time, that it's your driver. But
no.
the point is like, it's that finite, and the shorter the rope, the more important all of this becomes. But that is not to say that a 15 off skier won't notice the difference of Trent driving versus, you know, somebody who's new behind the wheel or less experienced than Trent. They're going to know because Trent's still clued into the relationship that he has with the skier, or he's understanding where the skier is on that swing progression or whatever. So, you know, I mean, I think it's really important to just, as you're driving, it's really, my goal is to understand where the skier is at all moments and understand that they will have a better line if I can make sure that I maintain my relationship with them. That's why a number for these people who are driving SurePath is, it's great to see those numbers, but it's more important that you were there for the skier than it was to get a perfect number. And that doesn't mean help trying to quote unquote help the skier. It's more like, I think you're trying to understand where is that relationship that I want to reestablish that relationship with the skier. If I lose it, I'm trying to find it again. You know, I'm not just immediately going to, what's my number here? I better fight this. I might end up -2 here. I better move. You know, if you, like you were describing it before, like if you're coming in and you're on the wrong side of this thing, where you're, let's say you're on the, you're wrong siding them into a two ball. If you move into them, the two things happen. Number one, you said it before, you take away any possible swing they could have. They now just have nothing and they're coasting. They've lost that swing up on the boat and now they're just free flying with no tension. But when you have no tension, you don't know where tension is. So you're going to do that kind of turn as a skier. You're going to do that kind of turn. That's that hope and pray, which is, well, I'm going to have some sort of backward falling component to find where that line is tight. And then I'm going to try to make it through. So, you know, for me, it's, I would rather you stay a little bit negative on, as a skier, I would rather have you do what Trent was talking about. Stay negative so I know at least where that rope's tight so that when I come in there a little bit narrow and I go to make my turn, the rope's going to be there when I finish. If you move into me as the driver and I'm coming in and I'm trying to find that turn, it's just going to be that much looser, which means I'm going to rock that much or wheelie that much bigger or rock that much more out the back. And then I'm going to take a bigger shot. Now I'm running later as a skier. Yes. Now I'm going to pull longer. Now I'm going to get pulled more negatively into the next buoy. Now I'm going to have a, you know, and it just keeps compounding. Like you're, so as a skier and as the driver, you're both trying to get back to having that relationship, which is how we start. That's why we get lined up before the course. That's why we're getting ready before the skier pulls out, you know? So
yeah,
I think that
And I was gonna say, I think like one last thing from my perspective, this one's going to be a little different for everyone. But for one last thing in terms of execution, from my perspective is you know, and it kind of goes with vision a little bit, but I make sure that I keep my head up enough that I can see the skier in the mirror. And I don't mean like watching, I don't mean watching them execute, but I want to see that. I want to see that blur in the mirror of their swing, you know, because again, like the speed at which they exit the center of the wakes or the speed at which they, you know, go from first wake to second wake is going to give me a lot of information about what I need to be doing, through the upward swing, pre-turn and turn. Seeing that blur, and I do it in, even in jump too, I find it really important that I got, like, if I, again, I'm not watching the skier per se, but I, if seeing that blur swing past the mirror every single time, it gives you a lot of information as a driver.
That's that pullback. That's that pullback thing, right? Like it you is. Took your vision from way down, you know, and you pulled back and you're almost zoomed out to where you're not hyper-focused on one thing. You're seeing everything. The only other thing I'd love to finish with is grip on the wheel. You shouldn't be, there's no need to be white knuckling. Like Trent's saying, he's transferring a pressure point of where he's connecting to the handle. But I don't think that I want you gripped like you could almost let go of it. Never, ever do that. We're going to be safe here, but you know what I'm talking about. I don't want to see white knuckle, because anytime you're flexed that hard, you're going to make more drastic moves. And everything here is calm, calculated. If you get behind, you can come back. Don't worry about it, but don't panic and try to fix everything all at once. Establish the rhythm with the skier within the parameters of what you're trying to do inside of the course, but find that rhythm and try to, you know, maintain that all the way. If you lose it, reestablish it. Don't fight for the center. Fight for a understanding where it is, plus or minus, obviously within reason. So,
yep, for sure. Because remember, you're driving the whole pass, right? Don't get too caught up in one moment. Okay, cheat code. This is a good one. This was taught to me by Scott Greenwood a long time ago, cheat code. When you go to pick up your skier, make sure you make a note of what foot forward they are. It's going to give you a whole lot of information about what side of the course they're going to hammer on you if hammering on you is required.